Hello, and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
And my name is Caroline. And how about them Steelers?
How about them Steelers?
How about them Lures? All we had to do was get them off American soil to get them playing well.
Well, we had a winning record going into the game. But I think that the commentators, I was actually like aghast at how mean they were. And then like it was at first I was like, maybe they're just being hard on everybody. And then the Vikings took the field and they were like, and this team, they have been putting in the work and their offensive line like looks so good, like all this stuff. And I'm like, you've not said one nice thing about the Steelers.
And where are the compliments for the black and gold?
And every single time we would do something that I like was impressive and that you could tell the crowd thought was impressive, you could tell everybody thought was impressive, they'd be like, they would just run through it like it was a regular play.
Well, there was one thing I did catch, and I'll have you all know, you know, the Steelers game today took place in Dublin, Ireland. So it was like 9:30 in the morning for us, or if you're on the East Coast, 8:30 for Phoebe. And I set an alarm. I went down. I watched it. I was like, this will be a good excuse to really get up and at him, because otherwise I'll sleep as late as I possibly can. And oh my God, like, why are the dogs barking like this? Like, what could be happening downstairs? Anyway, I have to talk about them for a second too, but back to the game. I have Hulu Live. That's how I watch live TV. And I turned on the Steelers game and I was like, oh my God, they must have just started late, because I'm catching it right at the national anthem for Ireland, I guess. Like, this is amazing. And then like there's there's like, you know, we have Jalen gets that touchdown right in the beginning, and then they walk it back and we don't get that touchdown. And that is when I texted you guys, OMFG, Jalen, LOL.
Jalen was not playing today. He's
wait,
hurt.
Oh, I thought they said Jalen.
Gainwell, maybe?
I don't know. Who ran down right away and got a touchdown?
I don't remember.
You don't remember that? It was like,
I don't remember that player. I don't remember who it was. The only reason I say it's not Jalen is because he is on my fantasy team and he's hurt.
I was literally going to text you guys something about Jalen. Like, that's how much I believe that's the name that they said. But perhaps strong. Anyway, they give it back to the Vikings or whatever. We don't get the points, which was crazy. And I'm watching. I was like, what? And I like texted you guys. Meanwhile, I'm like 2 hours behind you. I don't even know. No one responds.
I thought you were just saying that like in response to.
No,
like,
but I didn't realize really,
you were, because I didn't think that you were watching the game.
I didn't really pick up on the nastiness that you, maybe you're feeling sensitive today, but I didn't pick up on as much nastiness. But there was one thing they said where it was like, and that's the Steelers for you. Like, it's never pretty. It never is like clean or looks good, but like they'll get it done. And I was like, I mean, maybe that's what Phoebe's like crying about. I don't really know. But Phoebe texted me and Anthony in our group chat and then also our family group chat, how about those commentators? No one else chimed in about it.
I specifically said it in the family group chat because mom has a really, like, she always picks up on that with commentators, especially Chris Collinsworth.
She's in tune with her emotions.
So, like, she hates Chris Collinsworth and hates when he calls our games.
Okay, Phoebe, low-key, that's a little bit nerve-wracking because his name is close to Chris Connell. What if one day she was saying, I hate Chris Collinsworth, and she accidentally slipped as like Chris Connell? Or dad's first and last name? Oh, my God, Phoebe, that would be terrible news. We have got to warn her. Anyway, go on.
Well, she just doesn't, doesn't like how he talks about the Steelers, and that's how I felt today. I was like, every single thing we do, they're like, yeah, Steelers are ranked last in this, just like they are, like saying like all these terrible things about us. And then it's like the Vikings aren't even that good. And you're acting like they are truly God's gift to this earth.
Well,
compared to us,
guys, I promise. Sorry, you did not accidentally tune into a sports podcast. I know it sounds that way right now. I know you're like, wait, am I listening to ESPN? And it's like, OK, silly you. No, you're listening to the Pretty Little Podcast, as we said in the beginning.
The concept of this being ESPN and you're fully saying that a player who was injured and was not on the field once today almost scored a touchdown.
Not almost, did score a touchdown. They took it away. And I was like, maybe that's what Phoebe means, they're being mean. But the commentators didn't make that choice. So anyway, I don't really get football, and I've tried, and I've like, you know what? Just get into it how you're going to get into it. And for me, it's really good napping sound. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I don't mean that like it puts me to sleep or it's boring. I was telling Anthony, like, there's something about the sound of football in the house that is so comforting to me and like brings me back. Not that naps were really encouraged in the Connell house growing up, but like
they were for one person in the household.
For our father. He loved to nap during a football game. Not the Steelers, of course, but I just, it takes me, like, it makes me feel so relaxed. And I love, Anthony's like working all Sundays now because of whatever he's got
going
on.
Which is like the absolute worst thing for him.
I know, but he kind of loves it. Like, he's watching the game while he's like doing what he's doing. But anyway,
In his yellow glasses.
I know. Guys,
Anthony sent me Kelly and Caroline a picture of him at like probably like 7 in the morning.
Yeah, he was gone.
Everyone send your game day fits.
And he's wearing yellow. He got yellow glasses for the season. Yeah. Yep. don't worry. We only wear them during games and typically when I'm not around. But anywho, I guess they are good luck after today's win. But the point is, I love just being on the couch when Anthony's watching the game and I can just like nod off on the couch. Like, it's so comforting to me. I don't know. So that's what I like about it. I've already started like the camaraderie, like the food. I like the season. So I like football. And that's just that. I get to like it. Okay.
I went to Anthropology yesterday and they have all these cute, they have those glasses with footballs in them in all sorts of colors.
I know.
They have football fabric cocktail napkins. They like come in like a pack of four and they're so cute. It's like a little football embroidered on the corner. And they have these beautiful striped mugs that say Go Sports on the inside,
like
at the bottom of the mug. But the actual, it's actually the kind of mug that I've been looking for. I didn't buy it because I'm in bankruptcy at the moment. But, It's the cutest mug. It's like that shape. It looks like it was a homemade like ceramic mug. I'm kind of over like my Starbucks mugs. You know what I mean? Like, I want to feel, and like, guys, rake me over the coals. I want to feel like Ella Montgomery walking onto her porch. In the morning. I feel like she has those like probably those like ceramic mugs that are.
You
like,
want the ones that look like they're like handmade and they're like not perfect. Well, yeah. You can get those on Amazon too. You know.
That would kind of ruin the
Then you
the
need to
allure.
Make them yourself. Hey, if you want to actually be like Ella Montgomery, then you need to make them yourself, okay?
I need to have a daughter who will make
no,
them.
But no, where do you think your daughter got it from? Yeah, you're going to need to figure that out. Get on the freaking loom. What do they call that?
Kiln.
Kiln, whatever.
Or wait, no, the kiln
it's
is where
not
you put
the kiln.
It.
The kiln is where you bake them up.
Bake them up.
Guys, we have a lot to get into today. I just want a quick note on my dogs.
My dream or nightmare? Sorry.
Oh, did I not send you the agenda?
No.
You must ask me for it if I don't send it to you.
I just thought you didn't make one.
So what were we going to talk about? I thought we were just going to kind of wing it. Okay.
Old school style.
Did you guys hear that? Yeah. If Caroline doesn't make the agenda, there's not one. All right.
Well, guys, I just know that if I did make it, it would ultimately probably create more
take something
work
off
for
my
Caroline.
Plate. Oh
no, because I would send it to Caroline and she'd be like,
well,
okay,
it's collaborative.
I have to start completely over.
Anyway,
wait, one thing about the Steelers game, and then we'll put a
this
pin
is
bore- in
literally boring me to sleep.
No, this isn't about the game. It happened in the game, but it's not about football. This thing happens, this guy fumbles or something, and he must listen to the podcast.
Oh, probably.
He's laying on the ground and he hits his helmet. He like messed up and he hits his helmet like three times.
Stupid,
like he's going
stupid. Okay, it's an epidemic. It's a stupid epidemic. Oh God.
What are we gonna do?
Well, I love that for us.
Just got a notification that says failure's not an option.
Okay. From who? Our father?
No, from the news. Just a quote.
Okay, that's like what I think I have that tattooed in my body somewhere, and I don't know how I got there.
Well, buried,
much
buried
like
underneath.
All of them, much like all the other ones. Anyway, so my dogs, like Chuck, always knows what it means when I bring a Target bag in the house, or he at least thinks he knows that it means that there's something in there for him. Like, and it's specifically the Target bags, like it's not other bags. So I come in yesterday, and I did have some things for him. I got them each one of their like those big bones that's filled with stuff, and they can just lick on it forever. And I got them this toy called the Giggle Ball, which is like this ball they can't break. But every time you move it, it makes like some weird noise. Like there's something inside of it that moves up and down and makes like, And so it definitely is like simulating an animal crying or some shit like that. But drama, that's like drama's baby now. He does not want Chuck to have it, or actually anybody. He spent like the entire day yesterday, like hours yesterday, trying to find the perfect hiding spot for this. And he's just like pacing around nervous with it in his mouth. Anytime he put it down and Chuck would try to go for it, drama would flip the hell out. He put it underneath his bed and he's like moving his bed all around, but then the bed is moving the ball, so the ball is making the noise. So then drama thinks there's something under the bed, so he's like scratching at the bed trying to get, I mean, this went on all day. I was like, oh my God, what is happening? And Chuck doesn't get to play with it, but that's okay. So we're like, we leave him down there for a few minutes by themselves. And we come down, and Chuck has one of the bones on the bed, but I hadn't given it to him yet because they had this ball and like another toy I got them. So we're spacing out the excitement.
Right.
Chuck, while we were upstairs, and this is, I'm telling you something naughty that he did. I'm bravely telling this, even though he never does things like this. He hoists himself onto the kitchen counter, and on the kitchen counter were the bones wrapped in plastic, like full plastic.
Which
wrap.
Guys, by the way, Chuck could probably just like raise his head higher
yeah,
a little bit and
so
be at the kitchen
big.
Counter.
He is so big. So there is an open bag of squashies on that counter. There are scissors. There's all kinds of stuff. Because the thing is, I've never known him to do this. So like whatever.
Right.
So we go down. He has one of the bones. He got himself up on that counter. Took one of the bones, went past the open bag of candy, went past everything that could hurt him or that he would want to eat, to the dog bone, takes the plastic wrapped dog bone to his chair and unwraps it, bites the plastic off, puts it to the side. And so it's like half wrapped in plastic on the bottom and he's just like eating it out of the top. Like,
okay, but he is a genius.
He's
ultimately
a genius, but it's so cute. Like we were like, okay, like it's naughty, but at the same time, another dog would have eaten all the human food. Like there, I mean, it's like there's, it's our kitchen counter. There is food.
We'll never forget our family dog.
Oh,
Elvis.
Elvis would eat it. Like you turn around for 1 second, your entire thing of lo mein gone. Like it was never there.
One time I had Chick-fil-A for dinner. Famously, I put it on our little chair in the den, and Elvis, like he was a like, but he was a good dog.
Yeah.
And he knew the rules ultimately. So
that's why he had to
sneak
it. He was like, if I do it so fast, they can't get mad at me. Like if I'm this stealthy and I'm this good at what I do, then how can they be mad? You know?
So I go to the kitchen to get something. I come back. I was probably gone for 10 seconds.
Gone.
The whole entire sandwich. He's a lap dog.
Yeah, no, he's a Shih Tzu, you guys.
In one bite and gulp.
No, it's crazy. There's a video that Kelly has taken of, and Kelly, by the way, is videoing him, so she's watching him do this.
And then she probably ate it.
Yeah, literally. We had gotten Chinese food. And Elvis gets him, Bubba gets himself up on the coffee table in the den, or we're watching The Bachelor and eating lo mein, and he sticks his head in the lo mein and just starts fucking eating it out of the container as Kelly just is giggling and filming. I'm like, stop him from eating it.
That's so fucking funny.
No, but he knew how to inhale it so fast because, again, it was like, maybe they'll forget they ever got food. If it's just not here when they come back, maybe they won't remember they had any to begin with. You know?
Exactly.
Anyway, so that's just what I want to say about our dogs. But you went to the Addison Rae concert last night. So, you know, anything you want to say to me, you can say in front of my peeps.
Say in front of my peeps. Oh, my goodness. The second she took the stage. Here's what I will say, though. This is a little bit of what I can say. The venue, her announcements, all of it, there's no supporting act. And they're very clear. Show starts at 8.
Okay.
So there was this general feeling everywhere that, like, the show starts at 8. You have to be here at 8. Mm-hmm. That's when it starts. She didn't go on until 8:45. On the dot, 8:45.
Okay.
Which is, like, pretty, that's, like, normal.
Yeah.
So, like, if you hadn't put this thought into everybody's head.
People would still be trickling in
Exactly. It was crazy to me. Like,
it's good for the flow of traffic, by the way, you guys. Venues. Just to, like, not tell people they have to be there for sure.
Don't
earlier than
out.
You know they have to be there. Like, even if you said 8:15, like, but, like, let people believe that they can just
have a little bit of time.
You know, because then it spaces out the crowd flow.
I don't know if it's because of the kinds of shows that we were going to with Dad growing up, where it's, like, they were more, like, rock shows. So it was, like, we knew they're going to go on a little later. Like,
yeah.
We didn't have to show up to the concert until, like, 9.
I think you and I also never had to make that call. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it just was not a thought in my head. I was like, and we'll get there when Dad says we get there. But
I do. So like part of what I'm saying is like, was it just the concerts we were going to, or has the culture shifted a little bit? And if it has, I wish we would go back to like just normal, like opening act, like at 8:30, they play for like 45 minutes or like whenever they go on. You know what I mean? Like just do it normally. Just do it normal. Anyway, it didn't matter because the second she took the stage, I was like agog aghast. Wow. She's a star.
You were agog? Did you say, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but did you say agog?
I didn't because I felt the second G in the back of my throat. Okay.
It just is so funny if you said a gob. You know what I mean? Like
a gob a gas.
Actually, let's just change it. It's so much funnier, like, a gob a gas. I'm a gob a gas.
I need a gob from Giant Eagle.
Okay, well, I need a gob from Bethel Bakery, which I can make happen considering I ordered us a Life of a Showgirl cake for this week, except it says the Life of a Podcaster. Yeah. Okay, love being an adult. Thank you. Anyway, carry on.
It was such an incredible show. She's so sweet. She's so Hannah Marin-coded. Every time she stopped a song to like say thank you, she was a little bit out of breath and like
love that for her.
So much louder than anything else that had just like even the whole song. Like, her voice is so high pitched and like loud, and she's like yelling into the microphone like thank you.
Aww.
And but it was like so. She has that like sweetness that Hannah Marin has.
Yeah.
But she can dance, and I think she was singing, not everything, but she was doing enough singing.
Well, luckily for her, a lot of her music has those like ethereal, dreamy background voices that kind of like, is she singing or not? It gives kind of the like last summer Sabrina's tracks, you know what I mean? Where it was like, there was so much padding that you were like, I don't know, but like there's enough happening on stage that I'm not like mad about it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of how this felt. She was amazing. It was so fun. She's a blast. I really hope she keeps going.
What a transformation she's had. And by the way, you said you were concerned that she said the one and only album by Addison Rae. I think that means up until now. Like, this is currently, as it exists, the one and only album. But I don't think...
No, the way that it was phrased...
I don't see her stepping away from music.
My friend said that they think it's she's going to start going by Addison, not Addison Rae anymore. Like,
I want her to go by Addie. I just want her to. Because I think it's... Are you okay? What's up? Did you just get an eye on one emergency?
I'm trying to find the...
Could possibly tear you away from this right now. Oh, okay.
The liner notes.
Phoebe FaceTimed me during Aquamarine. It was fierce.
Could you believe
it? The dance break. It was fab. That's what I love. I'm like, don't just give me the dance break in the music video, you know? Be for real. Do it on stage.
Oh, this is the first and last album released by Addison Rae.
Oh, okay. Well, then yes, I agree. Sorry. One and only. I was like, I don't know if it's a death sentence.
But my friends were like, I think she's going to move away from being Addison Rae. Yeah. And she's going to be Addison.
That makes sense. Oh, I do love that for her. Well, that's awesome. Well,
the concept of making Addison one of the names that is like a standalone, the concept of it not like Beyonce, it's like that makes sense.
In my circle,
like,
completely has been. Okay, so I've got two Addisons.
Well, no, for you,
they're spelled differently.
You need the last
name.
Spelled
differently.
Yes, what I'm saying is you
need
the last name.
They're pronounced differently. Addison. There. Like, those are completely different fucking
and
names.
And who's who?
You can't tell?
Do
Addison?
It again. That's Addie Green.
Yep. Addison.
Oh, with an
Addison. E. Yeah, it's Ian and Owen.
I see.
So, yeah, so some of us are... And by the way, their Addies are also spelled differently.
Well, Addie with an I, Addie with a Y.
So it's just like... And when you look at it, you're like, and that makes perfect sense. Well, I want to discuss for a second a couple things. One, I know I complained last time about how in my nightmare rotation, all these stores like putting fucking Mickey Mouse and like Pooh Bear and shit like that on their Halloween clothes, which is not what I asked for. I also want to say, can we stop putting smiley faces on ghosts? Like, ghosts are scary. Can you stop making all your little white ghosts have a smile on them? It's giving like... It's just passes. It's just like every single ghost I see now has a smiley face. What about the bad ones?
Yeah.
Where is the representation for the ghosts that are like on the path of moral decline or something like that? Like, what is with every ghost being friendly? We know that's not true. And it's not helping anybody to kind of promote that idea is all I'm saying. And I'm tired of like, I really want these little ghosty earrings, but they have like a fucking... wide ass grin on their face. I'm like, that's not the kind of vibe I'm going for on my ghost tours. I don't want that kind of ghost in my ears, on my body, anywhere. They were earrings that I'm talking about.
Right.
So right. I'm just saying, like, you know, maybe the Christmas ghosts can have the smiley face, but the Halloween ghosts, I think, just keep them pretty much neutral. Because you actually can't see them, so you don't know what their face is doing.
I actually think, like, for ghosts, it's just eyes, no mouth.
I think it's even, if anything, it's just eyes. But the mouth completely takes me out of it. And the eyes don't need to be completely little ovals. Like, they can.
Well, I'm fine with that.
Not the super dramatic, like, Disney-ish oval eyes, though. Like, they can be ovals, but I should feel a chill down my spine. I should be like, those are hollow eyes. You know what I mean? I shouldn't see like a glint in them. You know, they're ghosts. Again,
I love when it's like a ceramic ghost and it's like a white sheet ghost.
Yeah.
And the eyes are like sunken in a little bit in black ovals.
And there's no mouth.
It's still ovals.
And there's no mouth. Yeah, no the ovals mouth. Are fine. But it's the difference between like I'm getting the oval-eyed ghost at Pottery Barn and I'm getting the oval-eyed ghost at Marshall's. And at Marshall's right now, every single ghost is dramatic oval-eyed smile and pink and disco ball. And like, I love all of those things except smiles. So like, I should really be first in line, but together on a ghost, it's not working for me. And not to mention somebody took a shit in Marshall's last week. So maybe I'm just kind of pissed off.
And Caroline will never let the world forget. That's crazy.
Why do you hate me? Right. And Caroline, you've told this story and you will never let the world forget. Oh, I mean, that's crazy. Let me tell you, Phoebe, somebody took a fucking dump. Somebody pulled their pants down and took a massive dump on the floor in Marshall's while you were trying on North Face pants. You would talk about it for a week, too. It hasn't even been a week since that happened. Last week, it was like I was struck by lightning. That's how cursed I felt last week. Okay. The number of things that happened. First, the store shitter. I come home, car accident in front of my house. Oh, my God. Everyone was fine. Then my power went out for 3.5 hours. And that was just Monday. Talk about a case of the Mondays. Oh, my God.
You know, getting struck by lightning is actually lucky.
That's what they say. Like the same thing as getting shot on by a bird, which it's so funny how all these lucky things just don't fucking feel lucky at all. Do you need to take the call?
No, I'm not going to answer.
I'll get a call next and then I'm going to answer. I'm going to say I'm second fiddle, huh? I'm second fiddle to foe. Huh? Anyway. Okay. Moving on from that, though. Phoebe's coming home soon. We're going to be together. It's going to be amazing. We have so many fun things planned for this weekend. And one of which is our Lord concert and one of which our Lord concert. And one of which is also our Saturday night ghost tour that we're doing in Dormont. And did you watch the Seth Meyers Las Culturistas drink with Seth Meyers video on YouTube?
Of course.
Oh, my God. First of all, the vibes in that video can literally keep me going for the rest of 2025. Like, they were so good. You know what I'm saying? And one of the things they said is that Matt Rogers is one of the great celebrators of Christmas, which I just, like, love that as a classification. And I would like to crown myself one of the great celebrators of Halloween. I would say you are one of the great celebrators of Christmas, historically.
Well, thank you. Well, I was born in that month, and that's one of the best things you can do for the month.
We know that, but you also really got upset. Like, you had your baby blanket was called Ho-Ho, and, like, you dress as Santa, like, every single year for the first 17 years of your life, and you literally walked down 3 blocks to the light-up night on our main road, and you, like, took pictures with the kids, and everyone was like, okay, we hired a Santa. Why is the 7-year-old doing it? And it was like, let her. She's wearing a fedora. Have you ever seen Santa with a fedora before? Yeah. This is kind of once-in-a-lifetime vibe.
No, that was a night off for the fedora.
Yeah, it was. The fedora got to the
job
dry
seriously.
Cleaner that night. The one night a year that the fedora
imagine
got to be washed.
7-year-old Phoebe walking a fedora up to the dry cleaner
on Beverly
Road.
Oh, mom's calling me. Oh.
That's so funny.
Oh, mom's calling
me. Okay, you have to answer.
Hang on a second. Oh, so I'm second fiddle, huh?
Hey. Hello?
Oh, so I'm second fiddle, huh?
Oh,
Yeah.
Hey, actually third. I can tell
you. Wow. Who did you... Wow.
Well, Phoebe didn't say we're recording.
I know, because we were testing you. Phoebe said, mom's calling me. I said, guarantee she'll call me next. And then I said, and I'll pick up and say, guess I'm second fiddle. And guess what? Exactly that happened.
Your third fiddle.
Yeah, so now I'm gonna have to go unpack that. Actually, I'm getting an emergency session with my therapist instead of the podcast today.
You should feel confident that you're third.
Honestly, you're right.
That means I'm not feeling too worried about you.
Mom
today.
Has the least amount of shit to worry about me with. Sorry, Phoebe.
Wait, so why was I first?
Sorry, Phoebe. You were second. Not wait, was Phoebe first or second?
No, Phoebe was first.
Oh, Phoebe,
she's worried that I didn't set up my rent.
Oh, well, you don't need to talk about that on the podcast.
I just wanted to talk to her about her clothing for tomorrow.
And you know what? I was actually waiting to find out when she was gonna call.
You said, and you know what? I knew it was coming to find out when she was gonna call because I knew it was coming. All right. Well, she'll call you when we're done.
Okay.
Well, tell her no, I won't. I'm going straight to pilgrimage.
It's important. So if she needs to go buy something, she needs to.
Well, Phoebe said actually no, she won't call you, but I'm gonna let you guys work that one out.
Tell her I'm going to pilgrimage.
Bye. Love you.
Hi.
Okay, she says hi back. Love you. Bye. Right. I'm not your fucking messenger. I'm not fucking telling her anything. Anyway, I thought that was a really funny moment, and I also had another really funny moment of that was when Bowen says that that Wicked for Good, actually Glinda dies in the first number, and then it's actually pronounced Wicked, and it's about two candle makers.
That made me laugh. So
it's actually pronounced Wicked. Like, Wicked. I'm sorry, Bowen Yang, the king of yes and. Like, it was so funny. It's actually pronounced Wicked. I think it's so amazing. Anyway, I also thought, great game for us to play, the newlywed game, but for podcast hosts, as well as their game they did when they were like, okay, you have to act out the scene. It was kind of giving Jake Shane vibes where it's like.
Well, I loved the one where it was like, you get one note. And I couldn't believe he got Nicole Scherzinger.
I could not get that one. Matt Rogers.
The other ones,
really,
I
got, yeah. And that's also, I think, so Phoebe and I think for the Patreon in October for the second episode, the dream rotation, we're going to do a vlog of this weekend, and we're going to play a game with Taylor Swift songs where we play literally 1 second of the
song.
And
we're going to play a game with Taylor Swift.
With Taylor Swift, and Taylor Swift is going to be here. And we're going to play
game. We've done that before, actually.
Probably have. It's really fun. Anthony and I play it all the time. Anthony played, but he doesn't just do Taylor, of course. Anywho, I just thought it was hilarious. Okay, but I do want to tell you that I did. Okay, okay. I didn't know for sure if I was going to bring it up on here, but I think I am going to. So some people were commenting on an old episode where we kind of guessed what Olivia Rodrigo's songs would sound like. I think we also did this with Taylor Swift because.
Well, you did that. Yeah, because you got Fresh Out the Slammer.
But I also apparently got Bad Idea right really perfect for Olivia Rodrigo for Oro. I did give it some thought for Life of a Showgirl. And I might have nailed it, Phoebe. I might have nailed it. Oh. And so I didn't know if you'd want to hear some clips of the songs.
You have clips ready to go. I'm not getting a live performance.
No, you're getting live performance. I just obviously jotted down some lyrics because I don't know them super well yet. Because it hasn't, I haven't had it
right,
that long.
Because you haven't heard it.
yeah, well, okay. Well, how about listen to what I've got and then tell me if you think I've heard it, okay?
Okay.
All right. I don't have a song for, I don't have one for every song, but almost every song. The first one is, it's called Fate of Ophelia.
Right.
And this one is kind of like a Fosse number. Obviously, Life of a Showgirl, we're starting with. Here we go. The fate of Ophelia is one you think you know. And that's all I have for that one, but that's definitely how it starts. It's Fosse, we've got snaps. One you think you know.
That's very her. I do think that if, I know you were going for a Fosse vibe, but if.
That's what it is.
If this song title was on Folklore or Evermore, that rhythm and that melody sung by Taylor is giving those albums.
Well, and here's what I will say. I don't.
It's also kind of giving McCavity.
Oh, that's exactly what was my inspiration. Phoebe, no, literally, McCavity was my complete and total.
Sing.
Yeah, it was my complete and total, my complete and total inspiration. I'm not kidding. I almost wrote, McCavity.
Guys, Caroline's voice teachers had to beg her to take McCavity out of her book. She wanted to sing it at every single audition.
They're like, Caroline,
audition.
You never want to be in the musical cast, but you want to sing McCavity. McCavity's not there. McCavity. They're like, put your clothes on. Like,
that's because where Taylor's swinging her tail.
Yeah, but I took my clothes off. But I was like, it's the same kind of thing. Same.
And waving
don't
your
wear
shirt
clothes.
Like a terrible towel.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't actually know what I didn't get to hear Elizabeth Taylor yet.
Right.
But a lot of these songs are based on, you know, how I know she sings and some of her old songs too. So I don't know what Max Martin did with the bones. I just have the bones of the songs.
Right.
Okay, next up is Opalite. Think of this one more like an ethereal ballad. It's sort of like tune like shining like fireworks. But we go shining bright like Opalite. I'm the brightest damn rhinestone on your faded corset now. On your faded corset now. Sorry, it's a little breathier than I got into it a little bit more than she will, because only the third song in the album, but you know that's I'm the brightest damn rhinestone on your faded corset now. New York Brooklyn accent. Okay, next up is Father Figure. We're kind of getting a little bit more literal with this one. She goes, okay, wait, I'm gonna get the two. Okay, is this one? Okay, go. Okay, this one goes, Travi, you're so big and tall, you cheer me on because I'm your girl. Is it weird to say you're a lover and a father figure?
No, and that one you lose me.
That one's like home. Man, oh man, Travi, you're so big and tall. You cheer me on because I'm your
but
girl.
But we know that
weird
it's
to say that you're a lover and a father figure.
I do think that's a very Taylor melody, but what I will say is we know that this song interpolates Father Figure by George Michael.
Yeah. I only have a little bit of it.
Right.
All right, next is Eldest Daughter. I'm brave, I'm bruised, I'm bulletproof. I'm older than you, I'm the eldest daughter. Stack books on my head, I wish I was dead, but I smile instead, I'm the eldest daughter.
That one you really might be onto something.
I really like the stack books on my head, I wish I was dead part.
That number one, that's a Spencer Hastings lyric. Number two, Taylor does like, maybe like... 5 years ago, I wouldn't have thought that she could have written that. But then we got I Dream of Jumping off a Very Tall Something.
No, just so. Some of them get crazier, too. Well, we have Ruin the Friendship. I literally had this much. I wouldn't be shocked if she changes it before Friday.
Right.
But what I have is, why, Ella, why did you have sex with Jack Antonoff? Is that
oh my god, she's just going through all of the Rolodex of her friends who fucked up friendships because they decided
to hook
up.
Exactly.
We all think it's going to be about Maddie and it's actually about
all of her girlfriends.
Oh my gosh, looking at the pictures of Charlie's wedding, I'm like, oh my god. Part of me is like, did they play like Shake It Off as a joke and like all make fun of her?
Benny Drama. I don't know.
They just look like mean people.
I know. It literally makes me think of, what is that one line she has? Like, that was it some fraternity, hazing for some cruel fraternity, I pledge?
Yeah.
Literally, it's I'm like, were that's they like, the fraternity.
I wonder, it's giving, like, with someone, like, I bet you can't get her to, like, think oh. It's like 10 Things I Hate About You
yes,
vibes.
I
bet you can't get with her.
100%. I would die seeing any photos of them together ever if I was Taylor. Well, that brings us to Actually Romantic. So we have this one. It's actually directed at Charlie.
Is this one name drop Gabrielle?
No, this is actually at Charlie. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it's actually to Gabrielle too, and maybe it's to Maddie. Maybe it's to the whole fraternity, the cruel fraternity she pledged. Okay. Everything is actually romantic because I'm not safe and stranded, and I'm flashing my left hand, and you're so bitter you can't stand it. Okay, I actually ate with that one though, because I said safe and because I'm not safe and stranded, and you know, how dare you think it's romantic to leave me safe? I kind of killed with that one.
Wow.
Okay. We're making our way through. Next up is Wishlist. This is probably gonna be your favorite.
Oh.
Just because I'm a rich bitch doesn't mean that I don't have a wish list. Kiss this. Quick. Clip of it, but that's what I got.
thank you, guys. I was listening to Midnights the other day. Like on vinyl, like I put the record on, so I was just like listening for real. And the fact that Question, one of the most beautiful songs ever written,
love it,
is followed by Draw a Cat Eyes Sharp enough to kill a man.
It does some bad things, but I'm the worst of them.
Well, he was doing lines.
Crossing all the mine. Someone told his wife, call it crimes to the FBI. Okay, so only a few more. Next up, Wood, I didn't really...
She was so generous to give you all these clips.
I don't even think
Rolling Stone has the album yet.
I know. And I know that. Okay, so Wood, I skipped because it's too slutty for me to sing on Tuesday, but, you know. Okay, right. Next one's canceled.
We'll hear it on Thursday.
Cancel sounds like this. Dear diary, yesterday the president of USA canceled me, but I win. He'll see this should be a democracy. That's what canceled is.
If it's that, Fox News is going to have the best day of its life on Friday.
This should be a democracy.
And not only is Fox News going to have the best day of his life, but Chuck Schumer in about a business week is going to think he's having the best day of his life when he hears it.
Yeah.
And he's going to be on the Capitol steps singing it a cappella into a microphone surrounded by people who are over the age of 87.
Taylor said, my impact. All right, I'm going to skip Honey because I think she's performing that on Jimmy Fallon. So I'm going to let her have that moment. But the last in the life of a showgirl, it goes like this. Take the makeup off and look in the mirror. You're you again. And through the micellar water, it's crystal clear. You did your best out there. And you're tired from the encore. But the lights are off and you don't know who you are unless they want more. There you go. I mean, like, I don't know. Like, that's your album.
What is Sabrina's verse on that?
Phoebe, okay, like, you're actually being greedy and ungrateful. I am literally singing you like 10 out of the 12 songs on there. What?
That was something, Caroline.
Did you like
job.
The micellar water reference?
Yes, she's but sponsored. Still the two best lyrics are the books on the head and
Zach
the
books
corset.
On my head. I wish I was dead, but I smile instead. I'm the eldest daughter. Yeah.
No, eldest daughter's quick.
I'm the eldest daughter.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm the eldest daughter. Maybe she yells it. I don't know what Max Martin's going to have her do
sure.
there. But yeah, I'm the shiniest rhinestone on your faded corset now. Okay, so anyway,
So you're thinking that this album is going to be kind of like a sister album to the song Mirror Ball.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to put words in Taylor's mouth, of course. It's not my goal.
This is all from the horse's mouth.
This is just what she told me at Selena's wedding.
And how was that? And how was it? I've been dying to ask
you.
You wanted to bury it in the episode so that so it wasn't clickbait.
So all of you fucking guys who are only listening because you want to know what Selena's wedding was like, it's like, come on. Sorry you weren't invited. But like, you'll wait to see it on Instagram like the rest of you guys. Anyway, but I will just tell you, I was like, Tay, look, you'll have your moment. Like, just don't make this about you. Like I love hearing your songs. Like, it sells big day. And she heard that. So that's all I really got to talk to her about it was the songs she just gave me. And she only actually gave me lyrics. So the tunes are just what I'm imagining. But I think they're right. She was humming. She was humming in the bathroom. She was humming them to herself in the bathroom. So I just knew. I knew what they were.
Right.
Anyway, okay, well, if that wasn't funny, I guess take it out.
I think we just had a blast.
Well, if you didn't fucking laugh even once, then I guess just take that out.
And I'll just go kill myself.
I have to be right. I wish I was dead. I have to be right about at least one. My track record is like one of them's got to be spot on usually.
I mean, someone in your friend group always is partially right.
I know. Oh, I can't wait to get this
midnight.
Fucking album. I know, like that. Hello.
No, but that truly, like, I know Fresh Out the Slammer was like, that was weird. That one didn't, there was something that felt different about that one. I think you sang Fresh Out the Slammer similarly to how she did.
Probably the Fresh Out the Slammer. Probably that part.
I think so. But Addie's never, unless one of these is truly verbatim, nothing's ever going to top. Meet me at midnight.
Listening to the very first song of the whole album, and we're like, oh my god, we've got a prophet among us. Oh my god. Okay, so anyway, Hello, Road Warriors. As you know, I'm one of the great celebrators of Halloween. So when I suggest a spooky and spicy book in October, you gotta listen. It's called House of Rain by New York Times bestselling author Harley LaRue.
We're both reading it.
Place bets on who will finish first.
And I can't believe how perfectly it ties into our girls. It's giving gothic horror, but with insane romance. So all you Arias out there are gonna love it.
And it's also super spicy and romantic and spooky. So even if you're not an Aria, you're pretty much going to freaking love it.
We just started reading it and Caroline texted me at 3 a.m. last night telling me she literally couldn't put it down.
And I am dying to know Phoebe's thoughts because it's her first spicy book and I think she's going to be hooked. Phoebe, do you want to read the synopsis?
Yeah. Gothic, sapphic romance meets supernatural suspense on a remote island in the Pacific Northwest. As a night of forbidden passion opens a Pandora's box of dangerous secrets and dark magic in this sinfully spicy standalone novel by New York Times bestselling TikTok sensation, Harley LaRue.
Sheesh. Obviously, we want you guys to read along with us, so you can get a copy of House of Rain by Harley LaRue wherever books are sold in print and ebook.
And if you want to match us and get the gorgeous deluxe hardcover edition, it is available only for a limited time. So go grab yours before they're gone.
Let's talk about Selena's wedding, I guess. We kind of touched on it a little bit, but let's dive in. I can't believe it really happened with no fanfare.
I know. And honestly, like,
where was this? At like her family's home or something? It's so Selena.
I don't know where it was, but it was, I thought it was gorgeous. I loved the pictures where, I loved their first look picture.
Yeah.
Where she's like turning back to the camera and like smiling and laughing and he's standing back there looking at her. I love that picture. I think everything looks gorgeous. And I saw a tweet today that was like the pictures of the 4th of July party where, of Selena and Taylor when they were like happy 4th of July from all your favorite, the most millennial post that's ever been posted. Happy 4th of July from your favorite independent girls.
Yeah.
And then, like, 2 years later, they're married and engaged.
Literally. So and not in so independent caption, now, huh?
Never just forget kidding. that caption on that was, "See you tonight, Kansas City."
Oh, my God. Wait, do we know that that was she? Was that, like?
No, that was before he did all that.
Oh, that was like, my God. Wait, I guess
all that happened after he saw her.
Holy shit. That is so, I'm sorry, like.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. Well, no, the pictures are great. I liked, sorry, I'm going to say something about Benny Blanco and how he looks, but I was glad Sel got him to shave the unibrow a little bit, and also his beard was snatched. So I was like, you'll be happy, Benny, in a few years. When you look back at these, you'll be happy. Selena looks beautiful, but now I'm like, okay, let's get some guest lists, please. I would like to know who was there.
I know. I saw pictures of Martin Short and Steve Martin.
Oh, you did?
And Paul Rudd.
Oh, my God. Wait, I did not see any of those photos.
Yeah, I just saw them before we got on.
Okay.
I lost the article.
What? Honestly, though, like, here's the thing about Selena. She's so respected in the acting space now because of Only Murders, which, like, I really have. It's not to say that I called it, but, like, all the way back in Wizards of Waverly Place, I was like, she's really out acting everybody on the set with her. Like, she is an actress. And everything she's in, I think she does very well. And so to see her kind of get that praise is really nice to see. But it also just solidifies her as such an A-list actor. And then to have Taylor as the A-list musician. And, like, I mean, not that Benny isn't, but, like, just in a different way. And to have them be, like, the girls that of the relationship who are kind of, like, carrying that. But I just think it's, like, what an epic wedding to be a part of. Like, that guest list for that wedding, just the names you just listed, it's like,
I know. I wonder if, like, Meryl was there.
I guarantee you she was.
It's insane. Imagine telling Selena Gomez 10 years ago.
I know.
Or even, I mean, even maybe less. I don't remember how long this has been on, but, like, that those would be the people at her wedding.
No, I know. It's crazy. But it makes me happy. She looked so beautiful. But I am really ready to see some photos of the entire event, please. So Taylor was there. Was she a bridesmaid?
Yeah, Taylor was there. I don't know if we have that information yet, but she was in town, I believe.
Oh my God, I want to know. Okay. And then obviously we touched on Charlie's wedding for a second, all the photos. Although I have to say, like, I mean,
it did look so fun.
This
it just
is a party
like
I'm trying to go to, the way that they set this up. I mean, I loved all the fans with their handwriting saying George and Charlie, like, so chic and yet undone. It was, like, so perfectly them. The platters with cigarettes and matches that they just had around the wedding, hilarious. All the disposal, like, it just was, like, but it just does crack me up to think of Charlie XCX planning out all of these details to put into her wedding. Yeah. It just makes me kind of laugh. It really does.
It's very interesting.
And I'm also wondering, and I know it's, like, very European, but, like, everyone's smoking cigarettes at the dinner table with the seafood boil and these close quarters with everybody. I'm like, okay.
The smell had to be crazy.
It had to be crazy.
And the way that they were all sweating and dancing.
And every photo I see of them, I'm like, and Molly was in attendance at this party.
Well, every time I see pictures of Benny and Terrence, I'm like, I always call him Terrence.
Yeah,
I
was like,
well,
why the fuck do you call him Terrence?
Because that's his handle. That's what I always
see.
That's
hilarious.
But they are like the hottest couple ever.
They're so great together. And I love how, like,
I wish they could have biological children.
They are, although I believe they are secure. Maybe they're not. But they seem like they both just have these careers where I'm sure they could, like, be living the single life in a very awesome way. And I love the trust that they have in each other and, like, their love for each other. I just, like, think they're really, and also just, I'm sorry, just from the early days, like, if these two ever break up, I'll take it really personally. I'll have to probably take bereavement at work, which is totally normal.
Fine.
Thanks. It's actually totally normal. Thank you.
Right. Did you see what Olivia Wilde posted on her story?
No.
Let me see if I can pull this up. She posted this picture that has been making the rounds. I think Kelsey, Vince's ex-girlfriend, also posted
this. Dynamic duo, Olivia Wilde and Kelsey, Vince from Big Brother's ex.
You're actually not prepared for it.
You're right. What could this be? Oh my God, Olivia. Is she trying to say that's Jason Sudeikis?
Or Harry Styles.
The fact that it could be either and it's actually a little take stall is crazy. And yes, Kelsey, Vince's ex, did post that.
And you know, Harry always has that blue, like, fisherman jacket on.
Oh my God. But Jason Sudeikis and Ted Lasso has that mustache.
Yeah.
So it's like,
that's
wow.
Her type, taking her out.
You know, I totally did not realize she was as big of a character in the OC as she is.
Yes.
She really is so beautiful. Like, especially looking at, like,
she's, like, striking.
She is insane looking. It's honestly crazy. But this whole storyline of her being, like, a full-on adult and, like, Marissa living with her and Seth dating her and, like, working at the bar. I'm just like, okay.
Oh, just wait.
I'm sure. But I do have to say, and I think I maybe mentioned this, but I got a little heat for not loving Ryan Atwood on TikTok. But I have to say, we're, like, almost done with season two, and he has really, really grown on me. Like, I like him.
Season one is not
a lot more
great.
He just had no, like, they didn't really give him a personality, I felt like, in season one. It was just
his personality was wrong side.
You are
wrong.
His personality was wrong side of the tracks and a little bit mysterious. And that was, like, and, like, heart of gold, but don't tell anybody about it. Like, but now I guess it makes sense. He'd be more settled into life with the Coens and whatever. But what I will say is Anthony's borderline unable to watch this show anymore since Sandy, spoiler, cheated on Kirsten. Like, he was like, Sandy would never do that. Because I kept saying to him, I was like, Sandy annoys the fuck out of me. Like, if he were my husband, I would be like, you need to shut the fuck up. Like, everything, like, the stuff with her dad. Like, I know her dad's the bad guy, but there's just some stuff that I'm like, okay, hey, Sandy, enough. Like, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
And Anthony's like, no, he's like the best guy. He's like, what? And then he fucking cheats on her. And Anthony literally, like, is like, I literally don't even want to watch the show anymore. I'm so, like, fucked up over that. I hate that. He hates it.
Aww.
I was like, you're just like our mother. She hates a cheating storyline.
Which is so funny.
It is so funny. Because it's so unlike mom. What are we saying? We're like, it's so funny. All right. Should we get into Salt Lake City?
Yeah, and here's the first thing I want to say.
Okay.
Is when Heather and Bronwyn go to lunch, and they sit them next
Heather
to...
Heather and Bronwyn or Lisa and Heather?
Oh, Lisa and Heather. When they go to that restaurant and they go to sit down, and there are those two women right next to them, and they, like, look them up and down, Do you remember this?
Wait, the girls look them up and down?
Yeah, like the girl's sitting. Like Heather comes in. Okay. And the girl is sitting at the table next to them and like is like
I did not notice that.
Wait, and look, Drunk Drawn just did a drawing of that woman.
Oh my god.
So like that's why I'm shocked you didn't notice. I was shocked when I watched it happen. Let me show you.
I mean, can you imagine a more, like, for us, how invigorating, but for anybody who's not into Salt Lake City, how miserable would that lunch be sitting next to those two? Ah! Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay, mood. Mood though, you see Lisa and Heather walking into your lunch spot. What do you do? Vibes.
I just don't understand, but I do feel like I probably should have rewatched this before, but like I feel like I remember Heather being a little bit more stand your ground vibes than I
God,
expected
Heather
her
is
to
so
be.
Fucking annoying to me though. I'm sorry. Like I actually just can't stand her right now. Like I'm sorry, she's driving me nuts. Her allegiance to Lisa and her obsession with Lisa is really getting hard to stomach for me. I'm just over it. And I'm sorry, like, she just consistently, first of all, she's at the, so if we rewind to episode one, we're all around the bonfire, we're all around the table, everyone's saying whatever they're saying about Lisa, and Heather's like, pretend I wasn't here. Then Heather gets lunch with Lisa and says, let me tell you everything they said about you, even though I'm pretending I wasn't here. It's just like, this is so Heather, like, it's so predictable.
And then she didn't tell Lisa about the Jen comment, which I'm like, Lisa's not gonna like that when she ultimately finds out that was said.
So I want to get into the fight between Bronwyn and Lisa, because I want to see like who we really think sort of took it, who really won. Who do you think won?
I don't know if I have a clear winner.
Okay.
My in my opinion, they're both, I mean, I guess I will say Lisa's the loser only because I feel like she brought it up. Well, but I think they both seem like losers in terms of why are we doing this?
Oh, it's mortifying.
Here.
It's mortifying to be doing it there. I think Bronwyn did the perfect amount of baiting Lisa to just like lose her mind. And unfortunately, I think Bronwyn's arguments are actually rooted in fact. Like maybe all of these get dismissed, but I mean, Bravo was messy. They showed us the excerpts from the lawsuits that are saying, you know, yes, somebody else was paying off Lisa Barlow's Amex, you know. And so messy as fuck to be talking about this here. But I do think Lisa's terrified of Bronwyn. Like, she would not talk to her. She hears that all this stuff was said. And then she hears that Angie compared her to Jen Shah. And I think Lisa believes she can take Angie. So that's why she goes to talk to Angie about it. When Bronwyn says, well, why are you talking to Angie? I'm the one you're mad at. You just told her. Well, Lisa says, I won't speak to you. I don't like you, whatever. And it's like, I think Lisa knew she could win against Angie, or that Angie would fold and that Bronwyn didn't. And Bronwyn, I mean, she'd already heard Bronwyn showed up
with
the facts.
Bronwyn
showed up with the lawsuits, you know?
Bronwyn is speaking more to the truth, and Angie, like, Lisa can be the victim in the fight with Angie because that was a crazy comparison.
And also because, yeah, Bronwyn, like, you know, Angie told her, she was like, Bronwyn came in with the information, so Lisa's not going to go start a fight with her. But Bronwyn just continuing to dangle little things that she knew Lisa would not be able to help herself but to bite on. When Lisa literally says, I'm going to start a website and publish all of her lies. I was like, are you okay? And then Bronwyn,
it
was the perfect thing to say. Bronwyn's like, oh, well, yeah. I mean, an internet takedown, that's already like what you've done to all of us. And Whitney's like, yes, yes. Whitney's like foaming at the mouth over this. She's loving every second
Whitney.
Of it.
But what I will say is like, I don't hate Whitney this season so far.
So far, she's fine. The stripper thing was annoying to me, but I mean, we're only two episodes in. It's okay. I don't know. Lisa was driving me nuts. Then when Lisa says gout dick sucker, let's talk about that. What an
insane. That was crazy.
Did she have that prepped? Locked and loaded, ready to go? Did she think of that on the spot?
You know what? I think I'm going to give her credit. I think she came up with that on the spot.
I think you're right. Because Bronwyn goes, oh, I'm a dick sucker. Gout, dick sucker. Gout.
I will say I think that Lisa has that dog in her for the housewives. Where like, she might not be able to win a perfect argument, but she can come up with the good one-liners in a way that is less planned than how Angie does. Even though, I mean, I guess high body count hair. But part of me thinks that that could have been ruminated on. I think
high body count
hair. I don't know how natural high body count hair was.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I thought that the gout dick sucker. And I thought Bronwyn had the perfect response. And she's like, well, he's my husband. So, yeah. And it really did just kind of take the flame out of, like, anything Lisa said. Like, Bronwyn has gotten to the point where she learned her lesson season one with what she needed to say about Todd. You know, she said some stuff. It was received not the way it should have been received, not the way she wanted it to be received. And she says, yeah, every marriage has ups and downs. Yeah, my husband does buy me all my jewelry, and I do suck his dick. So if you want to say that I'm sucking his dick for jewelry, I guess you can say that, but he's my husband.
Lisa was grasping, starting to drown in that conversation when she said the thing about the jewelry. I was like, that's not...
I know.
That doesn't mean anything. John Barlow probably buys you plenty of things.
Well, and also, I mean, Bronwyn's like, at least it's my husband who's buying my jewelry and not some unnamed man who's paying off my Amex and my husband doesn't know about it. Like, at least that's what's happening. Also, Lisa, by the way, everyone on earth knows about it now because you are screaming at the top of your lungs in this party, which I believe to be like a pretty high-end, classy party.
Vibe, yeah.
That shot we get over Lisa's shoulder where Lisa's losing her mind and Bronwyn is just guzzling the champagne, like... I mean, the cinema we're getting, and it's only season two.
Episode two.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Sorry. Honorable mention when Jared asks Brittany if she's okay. And Brittany's like, yeah. Yeah, I really am. Like, what the hell? What is your storyline? And she runs up to Lisa. Lisa,
wait,
Lisa.
I loved the cut from the women fighting inside. Yep. And then we cut to all the husbands. And they're like, so, Jared.
Well, all the husbands, you mean Seth Marks, middle management. So, Jared, are you in love with Brittany? Hey, Seth. And all
but
the guys
all
are like,
them
yeah,
are
well,
out
they're all
there.
Right? It's all of them there. But Seth, it's literally, here's how it's lined up. We've got JB. We've got Jared Osmond. On the other side, we've got Mr. Who, Whitney's husband. And then in front of them all, the top of the pyramid, we've got Seth Marks, who says, So you in love with her? You in love with Brittany? And they're all like, yeah, tell us. And he's like, well, they're like, are you madly in love with her? They just like take it further. Okay,
so
if you're not
funny.
In love with her, are you madly in love with her? Oh my God, no. It's so brilliant. The conversation between Mary and Robert Jr. was heartbreaking.
Very sad.
Especially.
But I think
like,
it's cool to see that side of Mary.
Yes.
Where she is. I do think she's a good mom.
Mary feels like a different person in this season and last season. Even
she's
when
matured.
Yeah, she really has. Even when like just she's like letting she seems like less of a caricature of a human and like an actual human who's still got those caricature elements that make her so entertaining. But even when, you know, it's Angie and I guess Bronwyn and Mary and they're like, yeah, well, Heather just told Lisa that Angie, you compared it to Jen Shaw. And Mary goes, shut up. She's like, shut up. Oh, my God. It's just amazing to see her like have an actual reaction to something.
Right, exactly.
I don't know. I'm loving this. The season is gold and we don't need to talk about Dancing with the Stars, but I do just want to say how impressed I am with Alex Earle.
She seems like she's doing great.
Oh my God.
Erwin
is
amazing.
He's doing really fabulous. Whitney's doing great. She's
she looked great. I mean,
Jen,
both of the
is honestly,
Mormons look good.
Yeah, but I expected a little bit more from Jen, I think.
Mm.
I know she is like literally like 2 months postpartum, so I'm not trying to be like horrific, but just because of the way that she talked about this and whatever, I didn't think that I was gonna be into Whitney's performances more than Jen's, but I sort of am, which is weird.
Yeah, everyone looks like a pretty stacked season talent wise for the most part.
Okay, so I guess we should talk about Big Brother.
Ugh, Big Brother, guys, I can't even freaking believe this is our final three.
It is crazy, guys.
It makes
so we're
me
recording
like, sick
this
to my stomach.
On the day of the finale, so when you listen to this, you will already know who's won the $750,000. But I do think it'll be fun to record our final thoughts before this happens. Like, because the truth is, I've got the scenarios in my head of what could happen, but not knowing what the HOH competition tonight's going to be, it's really impossible to say who we think will win or bet on anything.
I just don't understand how Vince thinks that the way he's acting right now would get him any votes. Like, so, he is being such a bitch boy.
Oh, he's
so
being
it's like
such a massive bitch boy. And, like, look, I get it. I mean, I think the guy knows, hey, I'm walking out of here. My girlfriend has definitely broken up with me. And I think that makes him believe that everybody hates him in America, which he's not wrong about. And then he's, like, not winning anything. But the reality is, like, I have the ick for him so bad, and I think Morgan is so fuck. She must be so glad they don't have the HOH room right now, so they didn't have to sleep together last night. Because did you watch any feeds? I'm guessing no last night, or see anything
I
this
saw
morning?
No, but I saw some clips of there was that conversation they had in the hammock, and she, like, got up.
It was so long. I watched, like, the whole thing. It was so long, Phoebe. And they're there just going in circles. And Vince is like, I just want fucking second place. I think I at least
I
deserve
think he even
second
said
place.
Third.
No, he's in third.
Oh, wait. He said the different thing about third place.
He's like,
he was like, all this
fucking,
and fucking
all this
third
fucking
place.
He's like, everything in my life I do. I give 110% to everything in my life. And it's never good enough. It's my whole life. It's like, really? What have you really tried to do, dude? You're fucking like 35
well,
years old and unemployed and living in
born.
Your parents' basement. Yeah, apparently that. I'm just like, what the fuck? And then did you see the clips where Morgan earlier had asked him why he was unemployed?
Oh, yeah.
And he was just
but
like,
he was like, didn't he say, I don't want to talk about it?
No, he said she was like, are you really unemployed? And he was like, yep. And she was like, why? And he was like, well, I just like have never been able to find my dream. And like, I've never found like the one thing I've wanted to do my whole life is be on Big Brother. And so I always kept saying like, well, once I get on Big Brother, like then I'll blah, blah, blah. And like, I also feel like they're talking about the money in, like, a different way than in recent seasons where they're like, she doesn't even need it. It's like, what, so she shouldn't get to win if she doesn't need it? And how do you know she doesn't need it? Like, you're all in here fucking lying to each other through your teeth. Like, how would you know that? I think my ideal outcome this evening, which I can't just with what I'm given, you know, if I can't rewrite history, it's that Ashley wins the HOH, sends Morgan to the jury house, and she wins up against Vince. What I do think is weird, though, is I don't know why Morgan thinks she can definitely win against Ashley, but she couldn't win against Vince.
I think because she's, and it's hard because in our brains, we want Morgan to be smarter in terms of, like, we want this stuff with Vince to be part of her game. But I think she's blinded by the way she feels about Vince. She's like, the house must feel that way about Vince. And she's not seeing how that but I mean maybe the thing that Ava said would have clued her into it. I don't think she's thinking about how smart Ashley actually might be. And like the thing is, I mean, I know we saw her do that stupid thing with Keanu that was so embarrassing, but when you see her practicing the speech that she would be giving, she's actually able to tell a story. She's able to highlight her strengths and weaknesses and how she was able to overcome certain things. And it's like, Morgan, what are you? You're not saying anything.
Well, she is saying something. Her massive reveal that she's actually a professional gamer. Yeah, don't forget that one.
Do you really think that is going to be a reveal, Morgan?
I'm like, maybe I'm misunderstanding like what that really means because I just don't know if
you're not
as like shocking as she thinks it's going to be or like impressive even.
Well, it's certainly not gonna be impressive because like you guys, none of you guys have been playing good games, and I can't wait for them to all get out of the house and realize that their gameplay, just because you win the season of Big Brother, it's like beating a second grader in a spelling contest.
Yeah,
it's kind of how it feels. Like, it's none of you were able to say you got Rachel Riley out. None of you were brave enough to put her on the block. The only reason she got out was a fluke, and like all this stuff. And you guys all are, you're still in the house because of the amount of days. Three people had to be in the house. That's why you're here. It's not because you guys have earned it in a way different, other than Ashley maybe, which is kind of a sleeper. But I do feel like we haven't given her enough credit for the kind of game she's been playing.
Well,
and I do love that she loses a comp. She will lose every comp until Vince's Vince gets a punishment if she wins.
Yes, no, literally. So they keep talking about Vince's crash out. So, you know, the HOH competition is three parts. Morgan won the first part. Ashley won the second part. From what I've heard, Vince had like a 20-minute lead on everybody or head start.
I heard
something.
Him say that, yeah.
And he still lost. And Frankie Grande was there hosting the challenge. And apparently Vince lost his shit and was like, he says his words, screaming at inanimate objects, screaming at Ashley, throwing stuff, like actually having a full-fledged tantrum on national television. And it was like a long tantrum, apparently.
They better show every fucking second of it.
I know. I think they will have to. I think it will be impossible to miss. Because
they talked about it.
They talked about it a lot on the feeds that like he had this and he was like, now he's wallowing even deeper in the self despair and pity because he's like, I embarrassed myself on national. Like, I would be crashing out too.
It's also like, Vince, you've already embarrassed yourself.
But this is how, this is how you've been fucking acting and like you've been fucking ridiculous and acting like a freak. And like,
did you see their goodbye to the feeds?
No.
They sat next to each other and like, looked at a camera and they were like, it's interesting to hear them like when they acknowledge the mm-hmm. people watching live feeds, because you're able to see their misunderstanding for how they could be perceived.
Yeah.
And it's like, Vince, we're not just seeing you as like this lovable guy. Like, we're not getting the casual cut.
No.
We're seeing everything. So like the concept of you, like we're endeared to you guys in some way. We're not.
I know. We're really not. What Vince keeps saying is that, he's like, well, and Morgan, you're going to see when we watch this back. You're going to see when we watch this back, like, that you would have won against me, no problem. I do think one thing that's, like, crazy to me, and Morgan was trying to make it make sense to Ashley, too, because she was like, well, Ashley, you never would take Rachel to Final Two. And it's like, well, that's a completely different situation.
Exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? And I'm sorry, with Vince, Morgan, I know you're saying maybe she doesn't realize because she's so blinded by how she feels about him. But she's not an idiot. She has to notice that every single person who leaves the house because of Vince fucking hates him for it. You know,
mm-hmm.
Lauren, Keanu, Ava, the list goes on. All these fucking people who have bad vibes about Vince.
I think it was Ashley who said, it was putting that in her speech, I think.
Okay.
She says something about how Vince sent home each of his allies or someone else. I don't know.
Oh, she says,
said that.
I played this game and made allies and he sent his allies home or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah, or
she like
said,
that.
This is what she said. She said, I made allies out of my enemies and Vince made enemies out of his allies. That's what she says.
Mm. And that's how I'm like, okay, the lawyer speak is coming.
Yeah. Well, and she
and
said
good.
Too, Ashley was like, you know, when I'm giving like a closing statement, I am appealing to the jury. I'm appealing to the judge and everybody. And I'm cutting down every aspect of the other person's argument. And I honestly feel bad doing that to Morgan. She's like, I feel bad doing it to her because everyone just thinks I'm like, whatever. But like, I'm going to feel bad doing it. But
well, I hope it's Vince.
I know it would be great. But I'm just like, Morgan, you might make a terrible mistake if you fucking take Ashley with you. And Rachel has rallied that house around Ashley. Like, mm-hmm. because of the way that you are with Vince. Like, she could, if people wanted to lump you in with Vince that much, but I am just like, Vince is your final two. As much as I don't give a fuck and I don't really want Vince to go, I think it's crazy that Morgan is not going to take him. Like, I'm like, I would also be like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, she put that in her speech too a little bit. She was like,
how do I explain
I was brave
I
enough
him?
To, I was like, to eliminate my number one, whatever. She said something about that in her speech. And I'm like, I don't think that's reading the way you think it is. But going out of the house and into the jury house, two things. One of my favorite videos on the internet right now is Kelly laughing, opening
Rachel.
The door, laughing more, and Rachel
just putting her head in her hands. No, it's so funny because you know these people, like, they do key love each other. It just is musical theater camp when you're locked with these people for 3 weeks, and it's like you have your enemies, but you're still like, I'm gonna fucking miss you bothering me.
Kelly's giving like your younger cousin who like
oh,
is
Rachel.
Coming in and and you guys both know that you bother the fuck out of each other.
Yeah, exactly.
But
and Will just sitting there laughing. I loved it.
The other thing I wanted to say was in Ava's exit speech. Well, first two things. One, when she's doing her exit interview
mm-hmm.
with Julie.
Yeah.
And she like does this crazy laugh
yeah.
and like looks to the audience like she thinks they're gonna laugh with
I
her.
Know.
And it's completely
silent.
It's giving when Mickey thought that
Julie
was
said
gonna
you
call
look
her
gorgeous. Yes, or you look stunning or whatever. She said and she yeah, no, literally.
And but she thought she was gonna say stunning, but she said you looked stunned.
Yes. Oh, yes.
But
it's so funny.
When Ava was doing her interview and they were like, so like tell us a little bit about all the terrible things that you said about Rachel when she left the house. And she made that crazy, like, the face I can't even make.
I'm trying.
And it's like, girl, it's not quite it, but close. She, I couldn't, I was like, did you think no one heard you?
I know.
Like, what?
As much as, like, they all seem to be so aware of the feeds and looking in the cameras and speaking to the camera, for people who really seem to acknowledge it, they also seem to forget quite a lot and think that we just aren't paying attention. I guess they're like, there's no way they're catching every little thing. And it's like, that might have been a little moment to you, but we've now blown it up and repurposed it on the internet. So it's actually a massive moment now.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness. But I can't wait to see. I'm not going to be here to watch it live.
I'm not either.
So I don't know if I'm going to just look or if I'll watch it.
I'll watch it as soon as I get home. I'll start it and I'll try to just power through without spoilers. But
how long is the finale?
I want to say it's 2-3 hours. I mean, it's long, I think.
Do you remember Cam's HOH for the final three? Or that competition where they have to stack all of the food items that are like those blocks? Yeah. And Cam takes one of the ice cream cones and tries to balance it on the tip of the cone. It's like the only piece on his board. He's trying to balance.
Like, that is like, it's when you get to the final three, it's just like, how did we all end up here? You know what I mean? Like, it's really us, really? Okay, that's crazy, you know? I don't know. Anyway, I'm pumped. I can't wait for the finale. I will be sad when Big Brother is over because it is such a blast. But I hope that next year you won't just be on the feeds and you'll watch again.
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
If they don't pull this shit again.
Yeah, Phoebe's really putting her money where her mouth is. Okay, you heard it here first.
Yeah, Paramount.
All right, well, it's time for rotations, Phoebe. Why don't you start us off? Fuck, you're right. Okay. First up on my dream rotation is the phrase hog wild. Remember that? Do you remember that? We used to be saying they were running hog wild. We used to be going absolutely hog wild. And I want to introduce this back into our everyday vernacular and jargon. Why aren't we saying hog wild more?
Okay, get to
it. It's hilarious. I'm sorry, it's so funny to say. So that's just really the first thing I wanted to say. I just was recently reintroduced to the phrase and I was like, yeah, you're coming on with me. Yeah, you're making it into the old lexicon. Okay. Next up on my dream rotation is all of you who are posting your adorable photos with our new Rosewood PA Ghost Tours merch.
Everything looks so good.
Oh my God, I can't wait for yours to get there. I'm really sorry it's not there yet. I was going to wear mine today to record, but I didn't want to make you fucking so jealous. I didn't want to make you hog wild jealous, which is probably how you would have been feeling. Guys, they're so cute, and I love seeing you guys posting your pics. So please, if you ordered some and you got it, take a pic, post it, share it to your story, tell your friends. But it's really good merch. It's definitely like my fave and I'm loving it. And if you do come to a ghost tour, you should definitely wear it there too. Okay. And then last on my dream rotation for the week, let's see. I'm going to say, I need to think for like 1 second.
Okay.
Oh, I guess I'm going to say the plot of Wicked. I think the plot of Wicked is going to be a really amazing. We didn't talk about the Wicked 4 Gut trailer.
Look at me. Look at me. With their eyes, not yours.
Not Phoebe giving me a full dramatic reading with the full facials. Wait, one thing. People are like mad. They're like, I can't believe the trailer like gave away this stuff. I can't believe Ethan Slater posted as the Tin Man. I'm sorry. This story has been alive for so many years, but this musical in particular has been like the most popular thing on earth other than Hamilton since 2003. So give me a freaking break, okay?
I'm being Hamilton for the other party.
Okay, so I can't remember. Are you saying what you're being?
No, I said it on the Patreon, which is up and live now, everybody.
Yeah, thank you. Baby.
Sorry, it took me a second. Work has been crazy. I'm going to be Hamilton. I'm going to do a mascara goatee.
Love.
Low pony.
Love.
Little hat,
of course, little hat.
And no clothes.
And naked other than that, because he is slutty. Don't remember this. Don't forget the song Say No to This. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yes. So that's what I mean for Halloween. Okay, my rotation, we have the commentators of today's game.
Yeah, I'm going to need you to like pull some specific quotes, by the way, because I wanted them to be
Irish
it.
Also.
Oh.
Anyway, next is Vince. What the hell?
Little bitch
You're
boy
just
Vince.
So annoying.
One more thing about Vince, and this is like outwardly mean and objectively mean, but like, but like, you don't have a job. I think it's icky to me. If you're like unemployed for no real reason other than you just haven't found your passion, which like news flash, nobody has, you know, like very few people on earth are doing their actual passion for work. But you're that old and you aren't working just because you don't want to. And apparently you don't have to. Your parents allow you not to. And you straighten your hair every day and have curated this mustache, this handlebar mustache and this beanie look. And like you have this whole vibe, but you don't have a job. Like I'm like, you only get to spend that much time thinking about how you look if you are also fucking contributing to society. I'm sorry. And your Big Brother stint doesn't count. Am I crazy?
The straightened hair is crazy.
Straightening your hair every single day in the Big Brother house is bonkers.
When you have like curls, like
you have curls, like
you're making your hair look worse.
And the pictures I've seen of him where his hair is short and he has no mustache and he's like a normal condo, I'm like, he's like a hot guy. Like, you know what I mean? If he were acting like a bitch boy, but he didn't have the handlebar mustache and the long straightened hair, I honestly think I'd be able to stomach it a little bit more. But it's for that reason. I'm like, Morgan, what are there? This you have to
no,
be gaming
and
him, right?
I'm really curious to see if like the second she walks out of that house, if she's like, I'm bye.
I know. I'm dying.
Never
to
gonna
know.
See you again.
I'm dying to know.
He's
and like,
gonna, like
someone
have a
reposted
real crash
his
out on TikTok Live.
Oh my! I hope he does it on TikTok Live. one of his like his home video from like week one, Kelsey's in it, and it's just like, what the fuck? Like you fully came in here and blew up your 7-year relationship with
seven
a handlebar
years.
Mustache. You embarrassed that girl. But it's the best gift he could have given Kelsey.
Mm-hmm.
Should probably be the Bachelorette next. You know what I mean? At this, the way things are going.
That's how they're
gonna
start picking
them. Exactly.
Who's the next woman?
Who's the latest
woman
scorned? Yeah, exactly.
And next is Harry Styles, because I listened to Olivia Dean's new album, and I think a lot of it is about him. And
wait,
I'm
really?
Like, wow. Well, yeah, they dated for a long time.
I haven't listened to her album. Is this one of the like 500 albums that came out this past week because no one wanted to release an album the same week as Taylor?
Yeah, which I think was so funny.
So funny.
But Nice to Each Other is already presumed to be about Harry and then more of the album. But it's just like she basically says like, I think this isn't Nice to Each Other, so we already knew this. But like she stayed in his house in Italy and she's like, she doesn't know where he keeps his silverware or like how the switches in the house work, like all these things. And he's just like, it feels like he was just emotionally terrorizing her. And she was just like, not in that serious of a way, but like,
I know I said the word terrorism, but I meant more just like bully.
I think that like Zoe Kravitz loved the girl, but she is giving like guys, girl picking it in her own kind of way where it's like, we don't need a label.
Right.
I'm totally cool doing the casual thing.
I don't
but
need
you
to know where your
silverware
is. I eat off the floor with my hands and feet.
But you are going to meet my dad for lunch.
And his nipples and are pierced. What about yours? Let's do it. Let's do it together.
Let's do it all. It'll be a cute little noncommittal thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's hard to remember that Harry Styles at the end of the day is a man.
And that is something I want to remind you all about every boy who sings or acts that you love on a big scale, okay? Because if you wouldn't touch the theater kids in your school with a 10-foot pole, I don't know why you think they are any different, all right? They just have a glam squad and a lot of money, and so you think that they're cool. But they are those guys, all right? And if you really wish you could have it, Harry Styles, maybe you should look in your theater wing, just saying. But it is true. Let's not forget that the Jacob Elordis of the world are still just broody sad boy actors in an acting program.
Exactly.
Okay. And 100%. If he wasn't terrorizing Hollywood and what's her name? Olivia Jade. Is that her name?
Yes.
If he wasn't terrorizing her, he'd be terrorizing some sophomore in college right now. Okay. So let's just be thankful that these people
Man,
are unattainable.
Jacob Elordi and Olivia Jane. And
Jade. Not us.
And
we don't
Harry.
Know. We only know boys' names. Sorry. We don't know any girls in Hollywood, though. Sorry.
That's why Olivia Dean is so easy to remember.
Yeah.
The Dean.
Because it's James Dean. That's a boy's name. Well, Dean
exactly.
is also just a boy's name.
Yeah.
Anyway, you were saying?
Well, I just... they've both scorned Olivia's, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess so. Anyway, but I do want you guys to remember that. Just when you're feeling heartbroken, just remember. There's a soon-to-be Harry Styles or Jacob Elordi walking the halls. Just go find them. They probably have makeup on, and so you didn't look close, but... and they might be in costume even, but Look below, beneath the threads, okay? That's all I'm saying. It is crazy people forget. Look suddenly below, you become famous and you're cool. It's like, but you're still the person who was like taking your tattered copy of Macbeth to the bar and using it to pick up chicks. Like, that's still who you are. Stop pretending it isn't. You still cried in rehearsal the other day because you got too into a scene. All right? So, like, at the end of the day, yeah.
Right. Oh, so that's my
rotation. Did you finish your rotation? Okay. All right, sweet. All right, guys. Well, this week we'll be doing the penultimate episode of Pretty Little Liars. Again, makes me sick to my stomach. I actually hate saying it out loud, but it's true. And we hope that you'll tune in. We did release our Patreon episode, so go check that out. And then we're going to be releasing our final pilot. Well, not our final. Our final for the month of September pilot episode, which I believe is going to be Degrassi or Freaks and Geeks. I don't know if we've decided yet. One of those two. So check it out. Order your Rosewood PA Ghost Tour merch if you haven't already. You've got the whole month of October to wear it. What are you freaking waiting for? And of course, this weekend, Phoebe and I are going to be together and we're going to be having an amazing time. So tune in. Maybe we'll go live. I don't know. We love you guys so much. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Please leave us a 5-star review. We love you and we will see you
next week. And splat.
Shiniest rhinestone on your faded corset now.